So Naomi Hirohara, and I grew up in Altadena, and then we moved to South Pasadena, and I live in Pasadena right now.
And what generation Japanese American?
I call myself 2.5. My father's a Kibe Nisei, mm-hmm. and my mother is a Shin Issei. They're both atomic bomb survivors, so that's part of my legacy. I guess my family, my parents, it's kind of a picture of the past because they were omiai, or arranged marriage. My dad was here. He was born in Watsonville, California. Went to with his older siblings to Hiroshima when he was a child, and then, you know, was in the train station when the bomb was dropped. And then when he was an older teenager, about 18 years old, he was, because he only had American citizenship, and he did not fight for the Japanese, so he was able to get on a boat with other young men and return back. And so he did farming in Watsonville. He was a migrant farmer and all that, but then there were opportunities in Southern California for Japanese Americans, Kibe Nisei, to become maintenance gardeners. And it was actually a very lucrative profession. After World War II, 1 out of 10 Japanese Americans were in the gardening trade. It paid better than other kinds of transitional work. So, but my father was not in camp, but he, you know, kind of rode the wave of gardening. And then in his 30s, he needed to get married. And so my father's family knew my mother's family. So, you know, it wasn't like a picture bright situation. Right. The families knew each other. My dad went to Hiroshima, and then my mom, you know, they came back married. Right. And, you know, in Pasadena, there was a lot of people in need of gardening. I mean, historically, it's a wealthy area. Right.
A lot of lawns.
And after World War II, with the GI Bill, there was this huge demand for gardeners. There were lawns, you know, outside of all these new developments. So a lot of people got involved. After World War II, I mean, people are released from camp. They're barred from doing a lot of different kinds of profession, and they need to make money quickly. Mm-hmm. There's also a stereotype. There's the halo effect that Japanese people could grow things. Mm-hmm. Some of it was based on, you know, fact, because many people, like before World War II, had come from agricultural backgrounds. Sure. And that's actually why a lot of there's a lot of Japanese American gardeners, because one was they had experience working with agricultural cooperatives back in Japan. So they kind of were able to band together. It was not, you know, uncommon for them to work together with other people in the same profession. Mm-hmm. And then, like, to get good deals, like on fertilizer, whatever you need to do. And the other thing was they started living in boarding houses. And so, you know, Professor Ransuka Shima has called that the gardening college. Mm-hmm. So you get a bunch of bachelors together in a house. They're more experienced gardeners. The newcomers are like their apprentice and learning. And then, you know, white customers, they know, you know, they call up the house, I need a gardener, and they dispatch one of maybe the newer ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of encouraged that whole profession. And after World War II, I mean, because people had favorable impressions of Japanese as gardeners, you know, they would open the door, you know. And it's the type of thing, if you don't like a gardener, you could just fire them, you know, so it's not a big risk. And all you needed was a beatable pickup truck and a push mower in the beginning, and you were in business. And like I mentioned, it actually paid better than other jobs that, and I'm talking about like 1946. And I myself had a lot of nostalgic memories of my father's own truck. He had a Ford, and it was like kind of like that green, kind of green mold. But I think it's beautiful. And my fond memories was when my father was coming home in when we lived in Altadena. We had a long driveway, so when I heard my dad coming up the driveway, and he would go really slow, the whole thing was to jump up the back, and just hang on. In like the presentation of the gardening truck, there was so much creativity. There was a few car companies. They saw how many gardeners out there, and they tried to promote like a gardener's truck. Like you're going to put all, here's a special ramp, here's a special container. It didn't take off because these group of people, they wanted to do things their own way. Mm-hmm. So I believe this kind of shows, here's a rule, and it's like, whether it be alien land law, mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not going to follow that rule. I'm going to go another way,
yeah.
And I think that kind of represents the spirit
yeah.
of the gardener, which I love, and it's a spirit in which I was raised, mm-hmm. And I don't think that's really talked about or acknowledged that much. A lot of gardeners, they were tanka writers. They were, poets, mm-hmm. Haiku, senryu. They would, in their turf and garden publication, they always had poetry in there.
Right.
And so it's kind of a different than your, like flower growers, for instance, had more money, they're more established. Mm-hmm. There are more the rule followers. Mm-hmm. So you didn't get, the troublemakers. There were a lot of troublemakers among gardeners. There were people who came who were maybe no-no or, mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, I want my own kind of job. So
right.
I got into the profession. I really learned how political mm-hmm. that the gardeners were. They took a lot of positions with politicians,
yeah.
political campaigns. Mm-hmm. And also, I kind of knew this, but it really became apparent that they were the lifeblood of the community. So with 1 out of 10 Japanese American men mm-hmm. being gardeners, of course, and they very much understanding the importance of being part of a larger community in giving money. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that started a lot of community centers after World War II mm-hmm. and or keeping them afloat. They were also, so socially, they had gardeners' picnics. There was a whole kind of network. In terms of the social networks, it was usually with the lawnmower shop mm-hmm. or the gas station. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of, that was the social hub. But in some cases, the gas station on the side, offered sure. some, mechanical services. So I think the reason why the gas station served that purpose more than maybe the mechanic mm-hmm. was just space for them to socialize.
Yeah.
With my own father, I was more, it was like the gas station, the nursery,
yeah.
and the lawnmower shop.
Right.
It was more that network.